I'm going to share with you a true story. There was this man called Kaza. Say Kaza. This man Kaza was a robber. He was a chief of robbers. The big robber. He used to lead a gang of robbers. And this Kaza was living in a jungle. And every time that he would travel from the jungle to the city, on the edge of the jungle, there was this missionary, a pastor. And he had a small hut there, and this pastor would just sit there and keep writing something. And Kaza was amazed. There's a very powerful true story. And Kaza would be amazed. And once he just decided that he will get into that hut and speak to the pastor. And he just, one day he was just, as he was passing, he just went there and he said, "Pastor, what are you doing?" He didn't know actually he was a pastor. He says, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm translating the Gospel of John." He said, "What is that?" "It's the story of Jesus Christ." And the portion that the pastor was translating then was about Jesus going on the cross. And when this man, Kaza, heard about this, and he said, "What has he done to die like this? What has he done to suffer like this? What happened to him? Was he a robber like me? Was he a thief or was he a murderer? What happened?" So this pastor told him, "Because Kaza has murdered his brother, and because Kaza has killed many people, and because Kaza has stolen and looted, this man died on the cross so that Kaza might not die, so that Kaza would not perish." He said, "I can't believe this. Is that true? Tell me more about this man." And then this pastor, he gave him the story of the gospel. He told him the story of Jesus. And that day, Kaza gave his life to the Lord. And he was saved. What a wonderful Savior. Jesus doesn't want his heaven to be without us. That was powerful. That was a beautiful choice. And who are we? That he would die for us. That he would give his life for you and me. Imagine. Jesus up there in heaven wants us to be there. He said, "I'm going there and I'm preparing a place for you." And he wants to fill that place. He wants to populate that place with you and me. And God would go to any length and breadth and height and depth to get us to heaven. And that's what is the heart of the gospel. The Bible says, and I love this verse, and this is powerful, that "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can convince God not to love you. Nothing can motivate God to hate you and me. Nothing can turn God's heart away from us. He loves us. He is a warm-hearted Savior. He is a loving God. But there are many times that we give him a cold shoulder. And I gave him a cold shoulder for 7 years when the gospel was preached to me. But the Lord is so loving, he's so humble that he would come down on this earth. But the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." He sent his son to die so that we could go to heaven. Son of God became son of man so that sons of men could become children of God. That's his love. That's his heart. And the passage for today, the portion that we are considering is from the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 36 until 50. And I when I In the Bible, when I read, when I say the word Jesus, I always remember that he is the Son of God. Say, Son of God. Remember, he's not just Jesus, he's the Lord, and he is God himself. Amen? And the Bible says a Pharisee, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he, the Lord, went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. She was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at the table in Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with tears. This woman, she started wetting Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman is this who is touching him. For she is a sinner. And Jesus, answering, said to him, Shimon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. But when they could not pay, he canceled the debt for both. Now, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And turning towards the woman, and Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet and with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I have come in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now this Pharisee is not a person who loves Jesus Christ. He hates Jesus. And these Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, they all clubbed together and they formed a team to finish off Jesus. The Pharisees were the keepers of the law of Moses. And the Pharisees deeply loved their nation. But these Pharisees were so, they were angry at Jesus because Jesus actually claimed to be the Messiah and they rejected his claims. They said, this guy is not the Messiah. And they wanted to kill him. They were the ones who plotted to kill him and put him on the cross. And even after Jesus' death and his ascension and his resurrection, they continued to persecute the early Christians. So Pharisees were the last place that Jesus would ever want to go. But Jesus wanted to go and speak to these Pharisees. He loved the Pharisees. He loved them because that was his message in the previous chapter. That's the golden rule. That's what Jesus preached. And he went to the Pharisees because he did not want to create an atmosphere of grudge or anger. He wanted to show love to them. And the Pharisees they were finding a way to trap Jesus Christ. So this dinner was possibly a trap to bring Jesus and speak to him and ask him what his views are about God and what he thinks about himself. And that's what something that they would convict him and to put him to death. And That's what the Pharisees were doing. But Jesus was always confronting these Pharisees with his radical teaching. He said, love your neighbor, love your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus loved getting insulted. Do you know that? Jesus was okay. Our Lord was okay to go and get insulted in a Pharisee's house. He knew that these Pharisees are going to question him. They're going to talk to him. And they're going to accuse him of the things. Like the ritual washing, they would always murmur that this man is eating with the publicans, that he's going and eating with the sinners. And Jesus would go to these publicans and have food with them. And these publicans were tax collectors, and they would collect the tax, and they would put half the tax in their pockets, so they would overcharge and put that money in their pockets. And they were the enemies of Jews. But Jesus went, and he was dining with these people. He was eating with these people. And Pharisees would come from the window and say, see, this man is eating with them. He's eating with the enemies. And Jesus, there at the meals, at the dinner, was making a statement that I even love my enemies. He was making this statement. He was making this clear that I am a loving Savior, and it's okay for me to get insulted because I still care for these people and I want them in heaven. Jesus loved the Pharisees. Some people say, no, he didn't love the Pharisees, but Jesus did love the Pharisees. He loved the publicans. He loved all of those who put him on the cross. He was a loving Savior. He was a loving God, and he did not want anyone to be perishing, but all to be saved. And that's what his heart was. And that's the heart that every Christian should have today, to love one another. And that was the teaching of Christ. It says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And I love the way Jesus would go to all the, you know, dinners and lunches, and at times it just justifies the way I eat. I love to eat. And Jesus would, you know, he wouldn't miss any chance to go and eat. When I was a young boy, my mother used to always tell me, please eat, because there are people hungry in Africa. I said, you know, there are people hungry in Africa. They don't get food to eat. There are people hungry in India. They don't get food to eat. Why don't you eat? And I started eating, and you see, there I am today. And I still ask that question. When I go to Africa, I'll tell them I was eating because of you. What does my eating have to do with Africa? What does my eating have to do with these people? Honestly, I should be eating less because people are not getting enough food. I should be saving some food for them. But Jesus would go and make a point in every dinner and every lunch and every meal that he would go. And that's where he laid the foundation. See, he was God. He could have just gone and say, be healed. Be healed and walk away. Be healed and walk away. Be healed and walk away. He could have done that. But that was not enough. He wanted to have a relationship. He wanted to create a relationship with people. He wanted to go and have that friendship, that fellowship. And over the dinner, it was not just about meals. It was about love, laughter, prayer, relationship, and knowing each other, and communing, and a communion that would bring people closer. Jesus wanted to have that relationship, a personal relationship, even with his enemies. Would you go to an enemy's house and have a dinner? If you know that this man wants to kill me, and this man is after my life, would you go and have a meal with that person? No, that's natural. We wouldn't want to go and meet the people who hate us and have a coffee. If you know that, you know, if I know he hates me and he invites me for coffee, I said, no, I don't want to go. He's talking against me. And that's what's happening. People are not making friends with their enemies. But Jesus, he had a clear message. Even if you hate me, I'm going to love you. Even if you're coming against me, I'm going to love you. He wants to have a relationship with you and me. The Bible says, that he made himself of no reputation, and taking a form of a born servant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself. And I love this part, and I just get so excited. And that's what I become. I want to become. He made himself of no reputation. Say, no reputation. No reputation. When we are Christians, we have no reputation. Honestly, it's not to do with the money we have or the car we drive or the house we have or the position we hold or the big name we have or a celebrity status. Jesus made himself of no reputation. He said, I would just go to anybody's house and I would go even to the sinner, even to the last person who hates me, who wants to kill me. I will go and have a meal with that person. How many of you will dare to do that? Say, no reputation. No reputation at all. Absolutely. Stripping off all those titles, stripping off all that name, stripping off all that I'm Pastor Anil or I am this. No, nothing. I am a bond servant. I am a servant of God. No reputation. Taking a form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross, of the cross. Jesus fed the 5,000. He wanted to have a meal with these people. He wanted to sit with them and enjoy that meal. The sermon was over. He could have just told them to go away. It's all right. The sermon is over. Normally in the church, we keep the food at the end so that people would stay for the food at least. If there's no food, people would leave in the middle of the service. So when they know there is samosa there, there's chai, there's tea and coffee and biscuits and cakes. See, people will stay for the cakes and the biscuits. But Jesus had given the sermon. The sermon was over. People had stayed for the sermon. But after that, Jesus said, that's not enough. I still want to have a fellowship with them. And that's why we have this fellowship every Sunday. Come and commune with us. Come and have this beautiful time of friend, love and fellowship, and that's what we do there after the sermon is over. Love. Zacchaeus, he was happy to see Jesus from afar. Oh, that's good. I just want to see who Jesus is, and that's about it. But Jesus said, come down, I want to come to your house. I want to have a meal in your house. Because Jesus knew there was still some work to be done. He knew that was not enough. Zacchaeus seeing Jesus from far is not enough. Jesus knew that he needed him more. So he went to his house, had a meal with him, and in his house, Zacchaeus gave his life to the Lord. And Jesus said, this is a child of Abraham, and today he is saved. I just get stuck here. Jesus loves us so much. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock, 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 knock. Open the door. If I were to go at Glenn's house every night and keep knocking the door, tuck, 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 open the door. Again, Anil here. He wants to have a meal. I just met him in the church. But he wants to come again. And I say, Carolyn, tuck, 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 tuck. I want to have food in your house. Okay, I'll feed you once. I'll feed you twice. This man is coming every day. He's gone crazy. And Jesus said, behold, what a beautiful thing that Jesus, the Son of God, he is standing outside the door and knocking. And we are giving him a cold shoulder. We continue to give him a cold shoulder. He comes and knocks. He keeps knocking and knocking and knocking. I want to come in your house. I want to bless you. I want to show you. I want to save you. And I show you my love. And we say, stay outside. I don't need you yet. Stay outside. He And Jesus is knocking. He said, behold, if anyone hears. So he knows you surely may not hear in the first time or the first instance. But he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door. So he is ready to submit and to humble himself. He knocks at your door, Rahul. Jesus, Rahul, I want to come into your life. We have this wonderful sister here this morning. And Jesus knocked at her door to the radio program. And she said, yes, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. And there she is today, fellowshipping with us, having this beautiful time. This is a powerful illustration for giving a call for salvation, though, but this is more for the church. Revelation 3:20 is for the church of Laodicea. He said, I am knocking at your door. I'm knocking at the door of Christians. I'm knocking at the door of so-called believers. I'm knocking at your door. You have been coming to the church, but you haven't let me in your life. You still haven't given me that place in your house, in your family, in your heart. I'm still outside, although you have this tag of a Christian. He's knocking. And he said, I will come and I will eat with thee. He still wants to eat. He loves food. He wants to come and he wants to have biryani, pizza. And he wants to, see, Jesus loves food. He was born in a place called Bethlehem. Beth means house and lehem is bread. He was born in the place called house of bread. That's in Hebrew. In Arabic, it says house of meat. So it's food everywhere. And he said, I am the bread of life. If anybody is hungry, come to me. If anybody is thirsty, come to me. Drink, eat, and you shall never be hungry and thirsty ever. You know, every time when we come to this table of communion, it like brings us into the whole circle of emotions. And it should bring us to that circle of emotions and feelings, knowing that this is the table of the Lord. And he wants to share this table with you and me, in spite of who we are. In spite of what we have done, or how we think. And this Pharisee, oh my God, this Pharisee was crazy. This Pharisee, he says, and behold, a woman who was in the city and a sinner, and I'll read this scripture. And behold, a woman who was in the city, a sinner. And when she knew that he was sitting at meat in Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster cruse of ointment, and standing behind his feet, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. She was truly loving the Lord with all her heart. Her tears of repentance, a heart of repentance that she brought. And she was wiping the feet of Jesus with her hair. And that was the soul of her business. She was a sinner woman. And I don't need to describe that. But her hair was a tool of seduction. Her hair was what she used to seduce people, and they would just get attracted to that beautiful hair. But she said, Lord, this day I want to just offer my hair to you and offer my tears to you. And she brought that ointment, that the perfume, that expensive perfume that is used to create that. You know, these women, they would just tie the perfume, the alabaster box with a string and carry it around. And whenever they would want to use it, they would just pour some ointment, and it would make them smell better. And she also gave that, and she said she's emptied that perfume at the feet of the Lord. And she anointed Jesus Christ. She anointed him, and she declared that I know that you are the Lord and Savior. And she fulfilled the commandment of Jesus that love the Lord with all your heart and soul and all your mind. And she also fulfilled this, the commandment of love your neighbor as thyself. She went to the Pharisee's house, the Pharisee who did not have a good word for this woman. Did he love this woman? Did he like this woman coming to his house? He was a Pharisee. He says, this woman, she's a sinner. But this woman, she went to the house of a person who hates him, hates her. And she worshiped the Lord in an atmosphere of hatred. We have a good atmosphere in the church, isn't it? And if you know that pastors hate you, would you come to the church? Would you come to the church if you know the, you know, people here, most of the people don't like you? We would not. Even if one person, I have seen people, I don't want to come to church because I don't like Sanjay. Yeah. There are people who would say that, oh, I don't like this man. I will not come to church. If he's coming to the church, I'm not coming there. That's what people do. They don't want to come to the church because they don't like somebody in the church. I love Sanjay.
So do we love him too.
We love you. But you know, that's what people do. If they don't like one person, they would not come to the church. If they don't like the pastor, they will not come to the church. If they don't like the place, they will not come to the church. They just want to come to a place where they would be pampered. But was this woman pampered there? Was she well received there? Was she offered, okay, come and have a food and can have a meal with us? Did the Pharisee say that? She could have chosen a better place. She would have said, no, I'm not going there. I'm going to another place. I'll find Jesus elsewhere. I'll find a different place. I'll find a different place of worship. This is not the right place. The Pharisee's house is the worst place for this sinner woman to go. But she says, no, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to meet the Pharisee. I'm going to meet the Savior. We are coming in the church for Jesus and not for men. We are coming in the church for God and not for people. And then the Pharisee said, if he were a prophet, he would have perceived what manner of woman is she. Another audition by him. He's auditioning Jesus. He's trying to figure out what kind of a man he is. And he says, he doesn't even know. I told you he's not a Messiah. I told you he's not a right guy. I told you he's a bad person. I told you he's not the one he claims to be. And he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know this woman is a sinner. And Jesus said, Shimon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has wetted my feet with her tears. Now this Pharisee was good at the laws. He knew all the customs. He knew all the traditions. And that was one of the traditions, one of the customs, that if anybody comes to your house, you need to give them water to wash their feet, because Israel, it's a dusty place. It's full of mud, and Jesus would walk. They would walk barefoot or with the sandals, and their feet would definitely get dirty. But he said, you didn't even do the things that you claim to do. You didn't even do the things that you say that, and that you are proud of, that I fulfill all the laws and customs. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't do what was you supposed to do. You gave me no kiss. That was a customary kiss that people would give at that entrance and say, welcome, my brother. But the Pharisee didn't even do that. He didn't kiss Jesus. But this woman, she has been kissing his feet all the time. My head with oil you did not anoint. This KJV, okay. My head with oil you didst not anoint, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. That was another thing that people would do to the guests. They would anoint their head with oil. But she anointed his feet with oil. So whom you think was which one of those was a true believer? Or following the law? This woman. She was following the law better than the Pharisee. Pharisees just claimed to be religious and true believers, but they were not. This woman was the one who was doing what God wants us to do. And he said to her, go and thy sins are forgiven. You know, that's what happens all the time. And the clear message to the Pharisee that Jesus gave us, if any man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. And I want you to say that loud. Anyone, say anyone, says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Okay, now let's turn it around. Say, if I claim to love God and hate my brothers, I am a liar. If I love God, if I claim to love God and don't love my enemies, I am a believer. I am a liar. If I love God and hate people who persecute me, I am a Christian. This communion table is very important. This is the most important thing that we need to do. You know, every Sunday we find ourselves worshiping God in spirit and in truth. But on Monday we say, my boss is an idiot. And my neighbor is a thief. And the plumber who fixed my tap has overcharged me. I hate him. That's what we do all the time. And Sunday back, next Sunday, we take the communion so nicely. I love you, Father. I love you, Lord. You are my life. But Jesus said, if you truly love God, you will love your neighbors. You will love everyone. And this is the challenge. We have to love everyone, each and every person on this earth, because God so loved the world. This is the biggest challenge. I'm telling you, if you don't get it today, you'll never get it. If you want to be a Christian, you have to love everyone in spite of who they are. You have to love your neighbors. You cannot judge people. You cannot give them those tags of evil and bad and sinners and stuff, and love them the way Jesus loved us, because he didn't want the heaven to be without us. And if you want heaven to be without your brother and sister, you're still missing the mark. And that's what Jesus gave us the power to do. He said, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. Do you love the Word of God? How many of you love the Word of God? I take it very seriously. And I feel as the Father has sent Jesus, I have been sent by Jesus to represent Jesus on this earth. That's a big deal. That's really a big deal. We are not just regular Christians coming here and ganging up with people and having a good fellowship and a cake and a coffee and having all that stuff. And then we have our likes and dislikes. I hate this. I love that. He's crazy. He's bad. He's this and he's that. And yet I'm a Christian because I play the guitar very well. No, this is a challenge. This is a challenge today. Don't mind my English, mind the message. Don't mind my accent, mind the message. There's something very deep God is speaking to you today. If you have anyone that you hate, there's a problem. There's a big problem, my brother. There's a big problem, my sister. If you hate somebody, something is absolutely wrong. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. The Lord is sending you as Jesus Christ on this earth, as a representative of Jesus. You are a walking, talking Son of God. As many as received him, he gave him the power to forgive. Power to be the sons and daughters of God, to forgive, to love, to go and have a meal with anyone, to go and forgive people. And he says that if you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness, it shall be withheld. Come on. Maybe this is the Sunday we can change forever. Maybe this is one of those Sundays that the way we look at life will change. Maybe this is one of the Sundays. It's just not about my blessings, my new job, my new car, my new blessing, my new stuff, my new apartment, and my new house. It has to be about Jesus Christ. Prophecy is not about God is showing me a big house for you. No. God is showing me so many people sitting here being like Jesus Christ.